This is session number 16, Homo Satanus, or the Rise of Homo Satanus. This is 16 on the Antichrist. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And we're looking at the identity, nature, agenda. All of this is going to come out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to talk about identifying him and some of the reasons why. And I think that as we begin, I'm going to just simply ask God to give you grace, empowerment, and really bless your study. I would encourage you to open up to 2 Thessalonians 2 and take a read. You're going to find that there is massive content concerning the rise of the Antichrist. We're going to talk about why we're doing over 50 hours of information on this subject. And I think that in looking at this subject, that other than the second coming of Christ, living for Christ, doing the mission of Christ, this has to be one of the most important studies for every believer, for every church. Millions of believers should have massive content biblically concerning the rise of Antichrist. And in this series, we've called it The Rise of Homo Satanus. That we literally will have Satan in human skin. And so let's take a look at some of the reasons why. Identifying him. Now, we've had that going on for some time. People adding up the numbers, 666, Henry Kissinger, a particular prince, Juan Carlos also, King Juan Carlos, and many others that have been calculated to come out. Well, again, It's not really about calculation. It's about having specific, detailed, a profile of the Antichrist. And you're not going to get a better profile anywhere else than what the Spirit of God paints 2,600 years ago in the book of Daniel. 2,000 years ago here in 2 Thessalonians 2. 2,000 years ago in 1 John chapter 2. And also the book of Revelation. So we have this content from Old Testament. Panoramic view here in 2 Thessalonians 2. A description in a different context in 1 John chapter 2, where he's called Antichristu, the instead of Christ. And he is called the Antichrist that is coming. Now, it says, this is how we know it's the last hour. We've already gone over that. And part of the way we have evidence of the very last hour, let me emphasize again, if you work an eight-hour day and you get off at 4 o'clock and all of a sudden it's 3 o'clock, you know you have one final hour that the majority of your day is already gone, and all you have left is 1 hour. That's the emphasis of 1 John chapter 2. This is how we know it is the last, not the second to the last, not halfway, the last hour. That's the picture the Spirit of God gives us in the nearness of the end of days, the rise of Antichrist, the final physical clashes, decimation of the world, and then the breaking in, the entrance, the apocalypse Jesu Christu, the revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation 19. Now that is going to bring about the last day of fallen human history. And on the last day of fallen human history, Antichrist is at the pinnacle of power. Pinnacle of manifest demonic presence, pinnacle of globalism, and the pinnacle of super military. Because in 1919, Book of Revelation 1919, we have the Antichrist out on the field, Armageddon, with the world's largest supernaturally induced military army system, and the global leaders all behind him, the kings of the earth. So we already see biblically in the future that he will make it there. And there is an ultimate agenda. And so when I give all these messages on the Antichrist, I think that it's important to know the ultimate agenda. It is about the third attempt to annihilate God in the heavenlies that occurred before he was cast out. At the cross, when Christ, well, at the birth of Christ, literally, in the 12th chapter of Revelation, we have this, again, panoramic view. The ancient dragon, the dragon is waiting there. That's the full force of Satan in his presence, prepared and ready to attack and seeking to kill, to devour. We find him entering into Judas to betray Christ unto death. So he's all about death. And that's what he helped bring into the human race when we chucked God and accepted an alternative and believed a lie and lost almost everything. If not for the grace of God, if not for the mercy of God, we would have lost it all, and it would have been an eternal loss. But God, in grace, and because he loves you and he loves me, enters back into this massive, massive agenda of redemption, cultivating in the birth, life, the cross, death, resurrection, ascension, and ultimately coming again. And even the millennium, the thousand-year reign, is part of the fulfillment of prophecy, and the end of this will bring about the great white throne judgment and then the omnion zoe, the eternal life, or the omnion basileia, the eternal kingdom. So we are looking for that in the end. So it's important to look into the past to see what God has said, the instruction. It is irrevocable. It is detailed. It is accurate. It is infallible. It is the only portrait of the Antichrist we have, because when he arrives, I'm going to tell you why. When he does have his apocalypse, his revelation to the world, and long before he has that, I would estimate at the very minimum, he'll be here for 30 years, and he'll be operative politically, operative behind the scenes, operative in the dark places, operative with his dark sentences. I believe it involves his plotting and planning in the deepest and the darkest of occult or satanic or, well, the realm of darkness. There's going to be, like Janus, the so-called god, small g, Janus, two faces. The world is going to see one face, a savior, a bright luminary, a world teacher, a Maitreya, a political, economic, environmental, multinational savior. He will be coming to the world to bring a new age, because as he will attempt to describe with a very boastful, powerful speaking mouth, you've got to understand now, this is 100,000 times more intense than Adolf Hitler. His ability to speak, his ability to persuade will be because of the literal, who he is. You have now Satan incarnate in human flesh. Outside of Christ, the most supernatural, powerful being in human history. The most, visible deception in human history that will lead to the most horrific destruction the world will ever know. And I think Jesus, when he said in Matthew 24, that unless those days be cut short, I believe when he spoke those words, he's speaking about the very end of the tribulation, the hey thalipsis, hey megali, the great, the tribulation. And he's talking about how one-third of humanity is gone, and then more. And the destruction continues in those final days. And he says that unless he cuts the days short, no flesh would be left. That the pinnacle of satanic manifestation, satanic mission, satanic agenda, satanic deception will bring about the pinnacle of human destruction, of the earth's destruction, and literally so much so that Jesus said the days would be unprecedented in the entirety of human history. The days would be unprecedented, unequaled, ever, and never to be played out again. Unless the days cut short, the possibility would be no flesh would be left. Now, that is, I think, speaking volumes to what Satan is all about, what his agenda is all about. And I think that in your study tonight or today of 2 Thessalonians 2, taking a look at, again, the panoramic view, I'm going to give you four reasons why, then we'll go into 2 Thessalonians 2. Let me say this first. We have massive insight on, and it is supernatural revelation. This does not come from the occult origins of the Akashic Records, the collective unconscious. This does not come from Edgar Cayce, Nostradamus, psychics, remote viewers, or anyone else. This does not come from the WebBot project. This does not come from anyone else's calculation. The revelation of the Antichrist is solely and wholly, completely a revelation of God. A revelation of God to the body of Christ. A revelation of God in the broadest profiling description in both his looks, his character, his workings, and his accomplishments in the evil sense, than anybody could ever write. And it's all before he's even manifested here. Now, as I speak to you, and you've probably heard me say this on some of the others, in my opinion, in the days in which we live, the Antichrist has probably already been birthed as a counterfeit incarnation to the real incarnation of God by the Holy Spirit causing the conception in Mary, the Virgin, and bringing about in every way, genetically, DNA, in every way, fully God, fully man. When it comes to the Antichrist, you will have not a fallen angel, a B'nai Elohim, you will now have the cherub himself. I believe that he will cause, in whatever way, he is a spirit, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now operative in those who are disobedient. Now, I believe he will cause the conception. One of the other sessions deals with that. I believe that's already occurred. I believe that it's bloodlined. In other words, the woman that is chosen and used for this project. Like Mary, chosen by God, of pure human lineage. And that's why we have this genealogy, which includes her. And there is also a genealogy, probably, of the mother of the Antichrist. And I would, in my discussions with undergrounders, Luciferians, others, in my opinion of what I see biblically, too, overall, is that if Satan continues his method of counterfeiting everything in explicit detail, then this would be, and the conception would occur. Now, there are rituals, satanic rituals, that are called marriage to the beast. The concept of him impregnating marrying 6-year-olds and 13-year-olds in the underground satanic ritual abuse system. Now, in this consideration, I'm simply making the point here that most likely he's already alive. My opinion would be that he's in Europe, that he's been around, that he is connected, that he's had a regime that has been operative behind the scenes, and that they helped in all this process, that they were there in the selection of the mother. They were there at the conception, rituals being done. They were there. Now, if you think back, for some of you that know about the rocket scientist, U.S. rocket scientist Jack Parsons, and the Babylon working, in which ritual, it was all done in the context of ritual, where it was spoken, and the goal during the sexual act was to have the whore of Babylon be spiritually operative in the sexual union conception. They were literally trying to create a crossbreed of human and demonic or extra-dimensional entity. Aleister Crowley also attempted the moon child. That's been something that's gone on for some time. And anybody who's dealt with satanic ritual abuse worldwide and tracked it backwards knows that there's a deep belief in all of those who have come out of the deep side of satanic ritual abuse that this is the process, that it will be a counterfeit, it will be real, but counterfeit to the real incarnation, so that it's, again, the fallen cherub himself in the process. Now, that is something that I believe has already occurred, and that he's already been born, and that he has already had massive development. And that development may include that he's up near 30 years old, and maybe, you know, maybe older. Jesus was around that age when he came out into public ministry. And I'm not saying it has to be exactly the same. He could be 40, 50, or 60. Now, the more years he's here, please understand, as I've said all the way through, the Antichrist is not someone who's just a regular man that someday gets possessed. He's not someone that walks around not knowing. I believe that his entire being, life, presented into the public as one thing, and now in the shadows, until the restraint is removed and the literal satanic and demonic burst of a great revolt, anarchy occurs, so that the waiting, prepared, trained, behind the scenes, call it shadow government, call it shadow multinational regime, the Antichrist's regime is going to be prepared and to come into power and to do everything. Now, I believe he's the cause of the destabilization and of the disintegration economically, nationally, multinationally, in every other way. I believe, and I do believe in that sense of you can feel it in the air worldwide. It's what billions now, I believe a catastrophic, something horrific is coming. And fight that as many may, this will occur. God in biblical prophecy tells us in the New Testament three things. In this massive revelation of actual future human history, God shows what he is going to do. God also then unveils exactly what Satan, the agenda, the demonic realm in globalism, the anarchy, the rise of Homo Satanas, and everything. God reveals the dark side. And then God reveals humanity and how humanity will respond. Either believing Christ and turning to Christ and standing for Christ is you, a believer, a listening now. You will be in the mix of your choices. Therefore, known clearly, God may seek to move you by the Spirit of God. Now, the enemy is going to try to move you, but ultimately, what do you choose? Who do you serve? Choose you this day. If the Lord is God, serve him. Now, if Baal or if the Antichrist and that system, then you're going to serve. And that's where Luciferians, real ones, that believe in the coming world teacher, the coming Führer, the coming leader, the Antichrist. Now, they know that's how we see him, but they see him as the bright, shining He'll be packed with wisdom, packed with political ability, packed with economic ability, packed with abilities to pull the world together, politicians together, nations together, to offer a whole new age, to inspire a broken, beaten. That's very similar in a small way what the Nazis and Hitler did in the broken, beaten, nationally embarrassed Germans. Instead of turning wholly to God, instead of turning wholly to Christ and seeking the will of God as prophetic revelation and the command of the eternal God, desired all of Germany to turn to God, to turn to Christ, to believe, to follow Him, to obey Him, and find life and find blessing and find God's hand in their politics, in their life as a nation. But instead, they gave way to another influence, a deep influence. I have no doubt there will be those who are chosen ones, the Luciferians, that will listen to these series. I will say once again that by the providence of God and this moment in time, you still have the summons by the grace of God to come out of the darkness into God's indestructible, immortal, and immeasurable, but yet totally personal, love and life. He alone, as the immortal, eternal, infinite God, can grant through what Christ did at the cross by a pure and holy blood shed, a death and a resurrection, offer you total forgiveness, break the demonic powers in and over you, redeem you, come into you, give you the gift of eternal life. You can come out and walk with and serve and live for the living God. Now, to many of you that are believers in Christ, it is important to know, and I think with many new leaders coming up all over the nation, your nation also, that we have been kind of been given just a little taste of the depth of biblical revelation. And most believers do not have massive, well, all of this biblical content on the end of days, the coming chaos, the coming globalism. And behind all of that, the rise of Antichrist, and behind all of that is a literal, real, secret power of lawlessness, a prince of the power of the air, the atmosphere around the earth, that is operative, that is moving in one direction. There is plot, there is plan, there is agenda, there is sequence, and I believe at this point in history that the dark side is bulging at the seams, absolutely prepared, that Antichrist is out there, the false prophet is out there, that it's all calculated, it's all prepared, but it's behind the scenes a spiritual battle. With the full forces of the troops of hell at the border of the veil, ready to come. Like a counterfeit satanic Pentecost to unleash more presence and dark power than has ever been manifested in this world before. The coming chaos, rebellion, and then the apocalypse of Antichrist, well, very clearly in this panoramic view here in Thessalonians, by the finger of God, whether the Spirit of God or an angel, there is resistance. God sovereignly is there's resistance to the breaking out. Now, there's two things you need to know. We've been in the frog in the kettle approach, this kind of behind the scenes secretive development, and you know it's been growing and growing and growing and growing and growing, to where now many of us that are seeing, we're seeing that it is so deep and so vast that it's beyond what anybody has thought. But now, it's not going to continue that way. There will come a burst, a breaking out. I think a good picture of this the four horsemen. If the first horseman, the white horse, deals with the spirit of Antichrist and that his birth and that he's going to be moving out there, and again, before the apocalypse of his presence, visible, actual ruling presence, he's going to be operative in the world. And he'll be on a conquest. He'll be on a conquest to move things to globalism. It's going to be a counterfeit peace. And he'll be moving in that direction. But something happens next. A red horse, Pyros, a fiery red horse. And here's where this burst, where peace is taken from the earth. And a seeming civil insurrection, an anarchy and a chaos that is multinational, along with border wars, rumors of wars, missiles shot. Literally, the world will be, as the scripture, the word used there, that mankind will be butchering one another. That it's like everything goes crazy, because the red horse represents this burst manifestation where peace is taken away, the burst has come. And I believe when the restrainer is removed, this all hell being unleashed sense will be very, very clear. Now, we have massive insight on the rise of Homo Satanas. We have massive insight from a supernatural revelation. That is the Word of God in Daniel. Now, we'll have separate sessions on that, separate sessions on the book of Revelation and so forth. But we have a great, great revelation of someone who's not, visibly, physically here yet, even if he is born and preparing and ready. We have this picture that has been given about 2,000 years ago. It absolutely corresponds with Daniel. It even adds more pieces to the puzzle or to the revelation, to the picture. If you have the idea that the Spirit of God is painting a picture of the end of days and of the Antichrist, well, when you put Daniel together and you put this together and 1 John together and the book of Revelation together, then you have a larger, broader picture. Now, most people can say they heard of the Antichrist. Multinational talk radio shows that are open to the New Age and so forth, they'll talk about the Antichrist. Psychics will, remote viewers will, old Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus did. With incorrect, now correct by saying Antichrist is coming, but incorrect in the information how, what, when, and where. This is where the Spirit of God, infinite, uncreated, giving infallible, irrevocable, and accurate. It's not as though God will write stuff about the Antichrist and then the Antichrist see it and it's going to change everything. It's not going to work that way. It's never how biblical prophecy works. It is literally giving us what the end, with all contingencies, what really actually will occur. So there will be a day in which there will be a apocalypse. Now, that's one of the words used in 2 Thessalonians 2. As you begin to read in chapter 2, verse 1, concerning the coming, this is the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him. This is involving the catching up of the saints, the dead in Christ rise first, and we who are alive be caught up, and the glorification, that's the first resurrection. So, concerning that whole issue, of course, verse 2, God is telling and told the early believers and tells us today, don't become easily unsettled or alarmed by, listen, some prophecy, report, letter, even if it's supposed to have come from biblical sources or whatever. Listen, if it doesn't come from sheer, total, biblical, Old, New Testament, systematic revelation, if remote viewers, if psychics, if people are going to point to Nostradamus, if others are going to point to other things. Now, again, do you want the accurate and, again, infallible revelation? So don't let any of the other stuff be used in any way to add or to be anything pertinent. Be very careful when someone says, this is the Antichrist. Obviously, Hitler was not. Now, there are those in the underground that believe that Hitler was killed with a mortal wound to the head, that his pieces of him was kept, and that there are those in the underground. I believe von Kampen, who wrote the prophetic book called The Sign, dealing with the pre-wrath rapture of the church. I believe he mentions this possibility of a supernatural resurrection of Hitler. Now, there are undergrounders, Nazi-oriented, the satanic side, that would believe that. But again, that doesn't fit the full picture. So we're told to be very clear about other content from other sources and other things. It's not Henry Kissinger, you know. And so it's very important when you look at the idea of the Antichrist that all of what the Spirit of God has given us, in other words, if God has given us 10 points of what the Antichrist will be like, then the Antichrist, the real Antichrist, will have to fit those 10 points. So, verse 3, again, the Spirit of God says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. And I think that's explicit. Don't let. Now, that's part of the responsibility of every believer. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Vital, again, I would encourage you to memorize, to know these are living words of God. Even as I quote them, read them, the Spirit of God, you know, is in and upon, and it is the living word of God. And God says, don't let... Now, this matches what Jesus does in Matthew 24. When they ask about the end of all things, the first thing, don't let anyone deceive you. And he begins to tell the reasons why. Because the end of days will be the most spiritually conflicting, confusing days in all of human history. So don't let anybody deceive you. Notice this, for that day will not come. Now this is very emphatic in the original Greek, that the parousia of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered him, that will not occur until, literally, first, the rebellion. Now again, I won't go heavy over this, but the word rebellion here, in earlier, before the King James, earlier, like the Williams and others in Latin and Latin translations, translate this great revolt or revolt. Biblically speaking, it matches or it connects with or used. The word is used literally in the book of Acts 21:21. It is about, and I know some have said for years, oh, this is about slip-sliding of believers. No, the context doesn't show that here. It's about the satanic agenda, what they're going to do. God's revealing them. And it's a revolt. It's a chaos. It's an anarchy. Apostasia here, on a very, very light level, can deal with a kind of religious revolt, but it's been used in the original Greek as a political, even military. I quote this in my book, The Black Awakening. I give other Greek scholars that also say the exact same thing I'm telling you now. This word was used in the terms of a political, a military, and definitely a religious revolt. And it involved a massive plotting, an event. The goal was regime change. So the idea here is the creation of a massive revolt, not in just a city or a nation. We're talking now that something is going to be much, you know, it's going to be global. Because the apocalypse of Antichrist will be a global event. That is the unveiling of his coming to power and his leadership and his reception by the world. That's going to be an event. Well, this is an event. And it is what has been plotted, planned, and prepared for, and is being pushed. We feel the rumblings of it, but it's going to come. Massive anarchy, massive chaos caused by the other side to collapse governments, military, law enforcement, infrastructures, all those kind of things to bring the world to the feeling that it's on the brink of annihilation. And then what happens? See, the parousia of the Lord will not occur in our being gathered, will not occur until first the rebellion, the revolt, the chaos. Undergrounders have called this the Black Awakening. because they believe that it incurs, it brings about, and again, if it's satanically designed and prepared, as we've outlined even in the book that we've done, that it is housing the deepest, darkest, it's like satanic sleeper presence. And when this restraint is removed, the restrainer is gone, then the rebellion, all hell, the concept of the fiery red horse, peace is taken away from the earth globally. It is a spiritual occurrence that is demonstrated in the physical. And with this all hell breaking loose and this seeming destruction of the world or nations, well, then out of this, the man of lawlessness, Anthropos Anamos Apocalypse. Three words that I think are very important. Anamos, Anthropos, of course, man. And he's called this throughout this and also in Daniel. He has the face like a man, speaks like a man. So in the idea of a Nephilim that is 15 feet tall, mutated, sick, you know, there are, you know, clearly, well, that's a whole other story, the Nephilim past and present. But this is, again, Satan in human skin. Now, this is, again, the most cloaked individual, the most masqueraded. Now, we already know that from Scripture, Satan himself has the ability to masquerade. That has the idea of transfigure. To literally transfigure and make himself like an angel of light and visit people in the New Age movement and in other places and show himself like this brilliant, bright, you know, white, bright light. And I believe that's what where the deception among the Luciferians and the elitists, even in their meetings where they may be meeting with him, that the masquerade, the transfiguring, so that when the man, Anthropos, of lawlessness. Now, I think this word needs a look, and I think that anamos here is the concept biblically of everything against God, his law, his kingdom, his rule, his reign, his presence, anything and everything concerning God. So he is literally the man that is in absolute, total lawlessness in the sense of opposition to everything, and it's defined this way in verse 4. Look what it says. He, Antichrist, will oppose and will exalt himself. He'll oppose everything that is called God or his worship, and he will exalt himself. Same thing as Genesis chapter 3. You know, oppose God with his words and everything he says, and then exalting himself and placing himself as the alternative, offering himself as God. And this will be the pinnacle of that insatiable dark lust, to offer himself as God and even proclaiming himself. Now, he's going to set himself up in the temple. Now, I'll get there in a moment, but I want to go over these three words again. Man. He is the man, the Anthropos. Used again, the idea in Daniel, so forth. So, literally, he's going to have the face like a man, like we've read in the book of Daniel. He will seem like a man, but there'll be something so supernatural about him. But because of his powers, Satan in human flesh, beyond the rest of humanity, the political, the military, the economic, everything that he's going to be doing, since it's already been orchestrated behind the scenes, will seem miraculous. And obviously, we see in the book of Revelation, the false prophet, a world-renowned religious leader that the world will see as a powerful religious leader, will be there to move the world to worship, to serve, to love the Antichrist, to do signs, wonders. So a demonstrative supernatural aid will occur to turn people's hearts to the Antichrist. See, God does signs, wonders, and miracles. Acts chapter 4, they prayed that God would stretch out his hand to heal, to do miraculous signs and wonders in the name of his holy servant Jesus. Why? Well, to get people saved. And that's exactly, you know, when the power of God comes down, they go out to preach the word. That's exactly what occurs. So the Spirit of God brings a summoning, a work, a supernatural work in saving souls, bringing people to Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, will only point to Christ. He will only use the Word of God in real believers. And if God uses any sign, wonder, charismatic gift, supernatural activity to help open eyes, to communicate, to break through, for people hearing the powerful gospel, faith comes from hearing, hearing by the message, the word of Christ. Well, then that is clearly a work of God. Now, the counterfeit to that is going to be the Antichrist is the counterfeit Christ. The false prophet is like a counterfeit Holy Spirit in a way, bringing about all these signs, wonders, and everything such as the world has never seen. And that's why there will be this move to follow in those without the Spirit of God, those without the Spirit of Christ, obviously will look to and seek to follow. They have no aid. If you're listening right now and you don't have the Spirit of Christ inside of you, Romans chapter 8 defines this. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. You do not have the Spirit of God, you have a sin nature. You're darkened. The God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4, is blinding your perceptions to be able to see the real Christ. And I would pray that right now God would break through, that God's love, but God's truth and the Spirit of God would break through to you to believe the Word of God. Because a day will come far more powerful, influential, supernatural than ever in history. When when Anthropos Anamos is revealed, Apocalypse, that's where I was going, Apocalypse. When he is revealed, I believe he emanates a presence, just like Jesus did. Jesus would walk around demonized people and the demons would be forced to manifest. People would walk up and touch Jesus and power would come out of him. We need to understand that even if you're a believer in Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, you literally emanate the presence of God. And that's what, as a believer, the fruit of the Spirit, being clothed and empowered with the Spirit of God, is all about. Now, when the revolt occurs and literally hundreds, maybe millions, hundreds of thousands, millions will be unleashed, in a sense, clothed satanically, manifesting demonically in this massive rebellion that unleashes what may be hundreds of thousands of rituals and summoning and releasing of demon presence building up. It's almost as though the pressure spiritually is building up. When the restrainer is removed, all hell breaks loose. Out of the midst of it at some point, calculated by the dark side, Anthropos Anamos, Apocalypse is revealed. Now, instantly the Spirit of God paints this picture. Look what he says again. The man doomed to destruction. Son of perdition, the man doomed to destruction. The moment of his revelation to the world, he is already doomed. And I believe if you take a look right here, mark down in your scripture, Revelation 19, 20. Well, 19, 19, 19, 20. Doomed to destruction. And I have told undergrounders, Luciferians, and others this for some time. Doomed to destruction. Just as the Holy Spirit has painted the picture and gives the accurate information of the man of lawlessness and his revelation to the world, he's also the man doomed to destruction. Now, that word has the idea of completely stripped, the idea of what you see. Now, you see the fulfillment of that, Revelation 19:20. The man doomed to destruction. The end of the Antichrist is not the attempted annihilation of the descent of Christ, but in the instantaneous destruction. And again, you can take a look, Revelation 19:20. Now, when we read again, he, look how the Scripture gives this, revelation of a man, anthropos, of the man doomed. He will exalt, he will oppose, and he will exalt himself over everything that is called God or his worship, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So this is part, again, the whole idea of getting to the temple first, because in the visible return of Christ, he is coming to that temple. I believe there is literally, he's coming literally to the temple, and the millennium, the chilism, the 1,000-year reign, where the Prince of Peace comes, the end of war, the end of rape, the end of all of this, the lamb lying down with the lion, that concept, the great millennium is coming. Now, that is the real age of peace. That is the real age where the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth, where the healing of the nations, where Christ is said in Old Testament and New to rule with an iron scepter, where he alone rules, where he alone, the infinite God now manifest, will rule. Now, before the beginning of the millennium, of course, all these other events are going to occur. Now, we have again the description. Here's what he's going to do. Now, that will occur there in the, and again, I'm not going to give the timing within the days of the tribulation, but this is exactly his nature. First, he comes out to bring absolute opposition to heaven, to God, making it look like archaic, old-time religion that caused the world trouble. And the whole goal is to bring, like in Genesis 3, to bring slander against God, malign God, turn hearts away. He stands in eternal opposition against God, of course. And then in that context, as he pushes God, or tries in a sense, pushing God away from people or people away from God, then he seeks to exalt himself, to insert himself over everything. He's going to betray all the New Agers and everybody else that believed in anything else and anything else you were into. He will, nothing is going to be shared here. He comes to be, number one, the finite fallen cherub, now in a counterfeit satanic incarnation, Satan in human skin, is going to be there to proclaim himself to be God. Now, that's part of, again, this involves the moving of the restrainer, the unleashing of literally all hell, which is done by the, like a burst of satanic, demonic, manifested presence worldwide. Unprecedented manifestation with then the birth of the globalism. And again, I'm going to tell you now, globalism will not be able to kick in until this anarchy, satanically, demonically caused, that involves taking peace, the slaughter, the disaster, and then the Anthropos Anamos apocalypse, the rise or the unveiling of the man of lawlessness. So when that occurs, now, the Spirit of God, again, gives us insight we have in verse 5. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? Now, this gives the idea, again, this has been told again and again and again. That's how we should come to the Word of God and know it again and again and again. If you look at 1 Peter, in the first couple of chapters, you're going to find how the Spirit of God guides them to remind them, to refresh their thinking, to refresh their memory, to let them know again and again and again. And I'm going to tell you, this is very important. You're dealing with some of the most important stuff. You might be a military strategist. You might be someone in government. And all of this, because of the supernatural side, that's why you're not going to be able to stop it, where Satan gets legalities, and the Bible paints the picture that in the, just like Germany, in the rejection of God being the answer and the acceptance of all of the kind of spiritistic and then spirit-inspired ideology of the Nazis and the entire alternative spiritual agenda, well, again, it led to destruction horrifically. Now, we need to understand in verse 6, and he says, now you know what is holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time. Holding who back? The Antichrist. Who's doing that? There's a restrainer. There is restraint, literally sovereign, infinite restraint, holding back. And so I'm giving you this picture. Why a restrainer? Why? Look at this word. This has the idea of forceful restraint. Almost as if they have to be chained. This entire burst of anarchy to globalism, to the rise of Antichrist, most likely all prepared and ready, but held back. God's sovereign finger. Now some will say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. Fine. Well, that's an angel of God. Fine. Ultimately, bottom line, God has restrained the agenda, the full force of the satanic agenda from breaking out like a dam onto the world. Now, it talks about that the Antichrist may have the apocalypse revealed at the proper timing. There's timing. And God, I believe, in all that God does in the New Testament, you can check out real quick 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 on this. All that God does what he does is he's doing it for the salvation, not willing that any should perish, but all that he's doing. You read this, check it out yourself, 2 Thessalonians 2, and or chapter 3 rather. I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 3 will tell you why God, the Christ hasn't come yet. And in God's working in the world, he does it for one reason. The number one thing God is doing, getting people saved, setting it up. Pentecost was like that. 40 days, God had everything arranged providentially, and then sign, wonder, and power came, and the birth of the empowered church, and thousands and thousands. So God sets things up to save the most. And that's what I believe this has behind it also. That God literally is bringing a restraint to the bursting out. Now there are occultists, Luciferians, and others that believe that a behind the scenes swelling, a supernatural burst, a jump in spiritual evolution is going to come. Well, I think they're getting that from a dark source. And that it will come, but it's going to be the anarchy caused by supernatural force and through what has been plotted and planned to bring the world to its knees in order for a regime change worldwide. Now notice verse 7. Behind all that we're talking about is a supernatural operative power, the mysterium, that is done in secrecy. The idea here is secrecy. For the secret power of lawlessness, the secret, this presence, this in the context here, what we're dealing with now, this operative, see what it says, is already at work. That Greek word used in Scripture has the idea of a supernatural operative force. So it's already supernaturally operative. That's where in all the world, everything's being pushed in that direction. You know it. We all feel it. We all sense it. You can feel it in the air. It has, you know, those who are committed to that side, opening the doors, doing the rituals, summoning the powers, releasing the powers, doing all they can to help unleash the powers that will bring the chaos and the new world order and the Antichrist. Now, the secret power is operative. Jesus talked about how the evil one comes at night and builds his tares. The idea, again, this massive secrecy. That's what I'm going to say when it comes to rituals and the real regime and where Antichrist is and all that. That you're talking now in sheer, literal, satanic power, a supernatural power of secrecy. Now, just mark down here Ezekiel chapter 8. You can go back to Ezekiel chapter 8 and find out right in the city of God, deep Luciferic serpent worship in the deepest, darkest sense had been going on for some time. Quite a while. And nobody knew, but God did. And God led the prophet supernaturally to break in. It took God's superior supernatural presence to break in to that portion back then of that secret power of lawlessness, obviously operative since Satan entered the world as the god of this world, the god of this age. Well, again, the restrainer is holding all this back, holding back the worldwide unleashing. Again, think in terms of a dam that's ready to break and the hundreds of millions of gallons of water going to burst. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's like hundreds of millions of gallons of satanic presence going to burst. The restraint, when the restrainer is taken out of the way, then look what happens in verse 8. Then the lawless one will be apocalypse revealed, visibly to the world, whom the Lord... Now again, immediately the Spirit of God, as much as we get this picture of the most horrific evil, God immediately gives the demonstration, not just of hope, but of victory and of the end. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth. Look at Revelation 19. See how absolutely perfectly Revelation 19, John, by the Spirit of God, was used to write that. Paul, by the Spirit of God, is used to write this. But it's the Holy Spirit's, you know, systematic and clear message. When the Antichrist is revealed, then ultimately he is the son or the man of doomed to destruction. The Lord Jesus, even Daniel tells us that this Antichrist, this little horn, he's not going to be overthrown or destroyed by human power, by the infinite Christ returning as he's promised. Revelation 19 should be read in conjunction with verse 8. In the descent, the apocalypse, his apocalypse of Jesus Christ, he will speak and bring destruction. And we have this revelation of the splendor of the coming of Christ. Well, this is where, again, this instantaneous, massive, without any kind of straining, Christ will bring total destruction to the Antichrist. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance. Now notice the coming, his arrival to the world. There'll be a work of Satan, a progressive, systematic, I call it the sequence of satanic evolution. This constant moving, building. It'll be displayed with satanically counterfeited real miracle signs and wonders, but coming from the dark side, and in every sort of evil, both all of that, both the moral evil, this great unleashing of moral evil, and unleashing of real supernatural but counterfeit, done by demons. Take a look at Revelation 16. The demons that are sent out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, they do miraculous things to draw the world to Armageddon. Satan will be doing miraculous, supernaturally inspired by direct demons, no healing, counterfeit healing, sign. All of this will come by demons, operative, even now as we're, you know, winning the world to Christ, seeking to. We will engage people that have counterfeit, demonically empowered abilities and to engage them. The book of Acts will show you how that occurred and power encounters occurred And again, how when real believers stand up and use the authority of Christ in every case, find victory. Now, the coming of the lawless one, his arrival to the world, is going to be this constant work that's going on right this moment as I speak. It's displayed or unveiled in what you're seeing all around the world. Sai Baba, Maitreya, in smaller ways, start the New Age movement, and in the most, again, masqueraded ways. Angel of Light, but really lethal dark presence. Now, this includes every sort of evil that will deceive those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love God. Now, that's the reason, if you're listening, and if you die and go to hell, you will perish because you refused to love the truth. God is, he has opened the heavens. He has given his Son, the Lord Jesus at the cross, the shed blood, the death, the resurrection, the event. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace is right now going to be operative as you're listening. And right now, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved by the living Christ, by the power of God, changed forever, if you'll come to Christ now. Now, I'm going to stop there in all of this concerning this portion because we are already past 1 hour. I wanted to give you four quick things concerning why we need to know in session 16, the idea of the Antichrist, his identity, nature, the agenda that we see here in 2 Thessalonians 2. Four reasons why, real quick. Number one, the Antichrist will be the most influential individual as a fake political, economic, military savior of the world. The most influential. Outside of Christ, the real Savior, but the world, you got to understand this is world out. Now, if you care about lost, the world as God does, then you need to understand how this is going to bring that kind of no greater influence. Secondly, he'll have the most controlling global grip, the most powerful military system will be built along with the political global system to enforce the rule and the reign of a new order. And this new order, you better believe, will seek to eliminate resistors, shut down everything, control food, oil, money, the economics, everything. Everything with central control. Satan in human flesh, controlling. Now, you read, if you want to, in 1 John 5 about how the evil one is in control of the world. You read in Revelation 12 how the dragon, that full force of satanic presence, seeks to lead the whole world astray and has the idea, again, of gripping it, controlling it. Number three, the most deceiving masquerade in human history. There will never be a broader deception. The pinnacle of satanic ability to deceive, to masquerade, to look like one thing but be the absolute opposite will be demonstrated. Number four, it will bring about the most destruction both to the earth, to nations, and to literally billions worldwide. The most destruction in the shortest amount of time in all of history. That's what's going to occur with the rise of Homo Satanas. May God give you grace. May the Spirit of God give you as a believer urgency. May God build within you the biblical principles. And may we be a part of the greatest mission in human history in reaching others for Christ, seeking God's grace to see healing, commanding the demonic stuff out and confronting, using our authority. It's in the context of a spiritual war. You will engage the dark side. Jesus promised to be with us to the very end of the age. Jesus will be operative with us, Mark 16:20. We read the book of Acts as a field manual for our ministry to reach the world. So, as you look at this, you get biblically educated by the Spirit of God's painting the picture. You get informed. You're able to speak in groups and places and universities and, you know, military base, wherever, on the real content. This involves the attempt in politics, because politics and the militaries will be the prime targets for acquisition. Satan, the Antichrist, will seek in his regime to suck in total grip and control of politics and military might to enforce this most unholy regime. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web.